Signing Central brings you
Phoenix City.
And welcome to Phoenix City for another 2 weeks. This is 2 weeks ago since we last recorded.
For another two Four weeks. It'll be a long episode.
Yeah. Well, I usually say hello and welcome to Phoenix City for this week, but it's not really this week anymore. It's kind of like...
You say for this fortnight.
Yeah.
Probably sounds better.
When we feel like recording. Well, okay. Hello and welcome to Phoenix City for this fortnight. No, it feels weird.
For the next hour.
For the next...
Welcome to Phoenix City.
But for the next between 55 and 60 minutes.
It feels like an introduction to Offspring album.
Yeah. But it's fair to say we haven't been recording as much lately as we do during the season. But
yeah.
Probably because there's been nothing to talk about.
And then all of a sudden there's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there's a shitload of signings, some W League chat. There's a men's premiership that's kicking off this weekend. Women's premiership kicked off last weekend. Lots going on to talk about, so that's why we're here. Cam and Dave here. Frosty's having a week off because he has problems.
He has lots of problems. Yeah, he really does.
Well, he does, doesn't he? You know. Yeah, anyway.
Could just call them issues.
Yeah. Issues, okay, yeah. Let's start with talking about Wellington Phoenix FC and their 2021 season squad that they are putting together. Having lost a bunch of players, they've gained a bunch of players. We talked about Matty Simon leaving last time round. And since then, some players such as Sam Sutton, Clayton Lewis, James McGarry, Joshua Laws, Matthew Redenton, and Musa Muratovic have all signed for the Phoenix. And David Ball, Tiatafai Hatsiwihongi, Liam McGang, Luke DeVere have all extended their contracts by either 1 or 2 years, putting together a pretty complete squad for the Phoenix. Obviously these were all ready to go and had pen on paper, and then they're just waiting for confirmation of heading to Australia before announcing them, because we've had everything across a week and a half period.
Yep. Yeah, I would say we talked last time about how we'd heard the rumours that a fair few people had been approached and deals done, but they weren't announcing it till things were a bit more concrete. And I think the way this rolled out suggests that was absolutely true, that a lot of these deals were done and ready to roll. They just were waiting for final confirmation of what the season would look like and all that kind of stuff before they started telling us. So really, really good work from them across I was going to say extended off season, but very different off season would be more accurate.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's a fair point. The signings they've made have been pragmatic to a degree. The players that they've got are all talented enough, for the ones I know, all talented enough to play at this level and are decent A-League quality players. So there's relatively young signings, which is exciting. Some of them, there's obviously quite a few on single-year contracts, and I think that's probably more to do with the situation surrounding the entire league in this season going forward and where it's going to be placed in the future and, you know, us getting back here and so on and so forth. But it's so there's a little bit of short-termism in there, but the squad itself looks quite exciting.
Yeah, I think if you were trying to be one of the naysayers and saying that this is a young squad is not going to get anywhere, you'd look across the whole league and every squad is going to look like this.
Yeah,
they have to. There isn't the depth in age of players playing in Australia to do anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's right. I think if you were entering the same squad in last year's A-League, I think you'd be right to poo-poo it a little.
Absolutely.
But I think you look at the situation we're in, and every squad's going to be, bar Sydney probably, is going to be in the same position where we're not able to bring in the level of kind of import that we were previously, and we're going to have to focus on young talent. And I think when you take that into context, it looks like a very good side.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the players from last season who have been signed back on to stick around. They're all players that you'd want to keep. Mainly David Ball, Luke DeVere, but absolutely Tiatafai Hudson as well.
Yep.
Liam McGing, another Adding a squad player, probably not the same level as the other three, but you're happy to have kept on to all four of those, which
Need
is good.
The depth, and he didn't embarrass himself when he did play. When he was called on, he did a decent, serviceable job.
Yeah. Obviously, if you're looking to directly replace your Gary Hoopers, your Stephen Taylors, and your Mattis Diamonds, these guys probably don't fill those exact roles, but no team is going to fill the exact roles that they've lost. So
no, it's just with the discussion around the reduced cap, for example, there's just not the room for someone like Stephen Taylor or Gary Hooper to fit under those under that cap details. And you can get a lot of players who are good and young and hungry for the money you are paying for Stephen Taylor.
And I think the other thing that should inspire a bit of confidence as well is we've seen that that Talay is very good at picking winners, I guess. I mean, the players he brought in last year, a fair few of them we hadn't heard of, we didn't know a hell of a lot about, and they proved to be real winners. And, you know, that was despite some pretty big questions being asked. You know, Davila, when he showed up, we were like, who the hell is this guy? He looks terrible. And how wrong were we, you know?
It's actually, just on a side note, he started his 2 weeks quarantine in Sydney now, so he'll be joining the club pretty soon.
Fantastic. And so there's a couple names in here that I don't know that well, and a few familiar names, obviously, and I have no issue trusting that these guys are probably going to perform. I think we'll be hitting a well above average strike rate based on Talay's record. So it's really good.
Well, let's start at the top. Let's go through the new guys one by one. Sam Sutton from the youth team. He's played a couple of first team appearances already.
Towards the end of last season, he made a few, and he went over when we went back for the completion of the league. He was over there with them at that time as
Both times?
I honestly don't remember about the time.
Let's ignore that one then, because that
and he in the reserve team, he's been a solid performer for a long, long time. So
He's 4 years. 4 years. I think he first played in 2016. I first had an image of him playing against Hawke's Bay or something like that in 2016 season.
So he's only 18 as well. So you get what you get there. Clayton Lewis is a great signing, which was one of the first to be unveiled.
Awesome signing. Yes. I hope he gets to play here in a Phoenix shirt, being a local boy like Leo was. You know, I think he's the kind of signing, being from Wellington, you can really get the people behind.
Yep. Just sad that it's this season when we're not going to be playing here that he signed, because obviously the Phoenix have looked at him in the past. I think fans have certainly been very keen on having him on board in the past, but for whatever reason it hasn't worked out. There's been a lot of rumour and conjecture about why not, but it's good to see him finally put pen to paper on a deal with the Phoenix, and it as you say, it would be fantastic having him play here at home, but it looks like the one season we're going to sign him is going to be the one where we probably don't play here, but fingers crossed he has a long Phoenix career ahead of him.
Yeah, absolutely. If he does the job this season, then there's no reason why he shouldn't be signed on for the future.
A couple of returning players. James McGarry, previous at the club. Not many first team appearances. I think he made a debut.
One at home and never in Wellington. Yeah
Christchurch.
Against 3-0. Central Coast Mariners 3-1. 3-1,
whatever it was. Yeah. Bad game, but hey, you got to start there. So, been around the club for a long time. We'll know a lot of the faces around. But obviously impressed Ufuk Talia enough, and as an indication of that young New Zealander who isn't going to probably be able to make it overseas at the moment or for whatever reason, but he's available, so you pick them up.
And I think this is in many ways I'm going to call it a success story, but we don't know that for sure yet. But I think this is a sign of exactly what that kind of academy structure is designed to do. Not every player is going to develop straight from that reserve Phoenix squad into a first team player. And sometimes they do need to go away, play a bit of football elsewhere, get a bit more experience under their belt, and then come back again. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing here. He was a very good young footballer, but at the point the Phoenix needed him to either sign a contract or move on, he wasn't at the level they needed him to be. But that's not to say he's never going to get there. And he's gone away, he's played some football elsewhere for a while, and you know, in this new league, they're looking at him again, and that's fantastic. That's exactly how this should work.
He went to I think it was Vitesse in Holland. He was definitely in the Netherlands anyway.
Willem is where he went.
Willem, there. Yeah. And they, what a great place. It's a great place for developing young talent, and have been for years.
Yep.
So a great place to go and learn to be a pro. It was good.
Yeah, and so I view this as a real success in how that structure should work. And, you know, some players will come straight through reserves into first, then go on to bigger and better things. Other players will have a few years in between and hopefully come back to the roots.
And, like, good. You can't shy away from the fact that he is an All-White, having made his All-White debut against Lithuania. So, good signing. The other returning All-White is Matthew Redenton, which you probably wouldn't have picked necessarily, but given the way that he left the club. But I think he probably recognises new regime, He's not an import here. Pretty hard to get into any contract at the moment. So I think it's a good move for both parties. He's probably not the starting player that maybe 5 years ago you'd hoped he would become, but he is a solid A-League signing and no-brainer to me to bring him back.
Absolutely. When he left, he was the under-23 player of the year that season, in his last season with us, which is an awesome effort. I can understand why he took the opportunity to be that import signing with Ernie. Ernie showed a lot of faith in him when he was here, a lot of trust, and obviously liked him as a player. So I get that why he went to Newcastle at the time. Yep. But, yeah, as life has panned out and as 2020 has panned out, coming back to the Knicks is probably the best course of action for him.
Yeah, well, he's a solid A-League player, as you say. I don't think he's it's a no-brainer for me to bring him back into the squad. You know, if he's available, you take him. He's proven he can play at this level, and with the league taking the kind of step down it will be this season, he's probably going to be a pretty solid performer.
One that I don't know much about was Joshua Laws. Anything at all?
So I could be completely wrong on this because I don't know that much either, but I believe he's Australian and young. So I would imagine the connection with him probably comes through Ufi's work with the Australian age grade sides. And so he probably knows him quite well from there, would be my pick.
Yep.
But I don't know a hell of a lot about him, except that he's been overseas and I think he's come back to Australia through COVID. And yeah, young, talented Aussie with fair few people talking about him. I think we get the look in there because of Ufi.
And on the same lines, talented young Australia, Mirza Muratovic, who was born in the year 2000. He was born this century, which makes you feel old. But he's made A-League appearances and scored a couple of goals for Brisbane Roar already. And they mutually terminated him so he could come and sign with us for the season. And I think the connection there again is the Australian under-17 side. I don't know if the timelines line up, but at least he would have been seeing him when he was around that as well. So, yeah, a good set of five, young-ish. Clayton's probably the oldest of all those, and maybe Redenton is. But certainly mid-20s at the oldest, Australia, New Zealanders coming into the side, which is all you can ask of any other club. Any other club is just doing the same kind of thing. So,
yeah, how many does that bring our squad size to now?
That's a good question.
Look at all that research
22,
we've done.
22, so. 20 total.
Ah, okay. Sweet. Yeah. 20, I believe, is the minimum?
Yes.
With 23 being the maximum.
Unless it's changed because of COVID the season.
I don't believe 20. It has. Yeah.
And there's also chat, obviously, of an import striker as well.
Yeah.
I would say that he would probably sit outside the cap, get the impression, or you know, marquee slot, given how many players we have signed and the quality that we've signed. So, yeah. And the fact that we've got David Ball for so much longer. So unless that's a backloaded contract, I don't know. But it's I think that's a massive signing, keeping him, because he's still young enough to make a massive impact in the league. He showed his qualities last season of being not just being skillful but also being combative, you know, and showing the kind of the heart that you need to play in a league like this.
So. Yeah, and I think it's an interesting one for him as well, committing the way he has, because obviously he's got his family over here, and the way this season is, you know, the players who are committing to another season with the Phoenix are not necessarily committing to a season in New Zealand. So I don't know the specifics with him, but I know a lot of the staff and players are going to be separated from their families for the whole season, and some will be taking their families with them. And so whichever boat he's in there, either you're committing to 6 months away from your family or uprooting your family once again from a place where they're quite settled. So it's a big call, and shows how much he's clearly enjoying life this side of the world and enjoying his football here.
Well, I mean, so obviously there's going to be an end to COVID eventually, and if he loves living here, which obviously he does, and his family loves it here too, and his kids are settled, they're school age, right? I think like 7 and 4, something like that, 7 and 5. I can understand.
4-year-olds don't go to school, Cam.
The really bright ones might.
That's a good point.
Did you know what I meant?
Yeah.
Don't be a dick about it.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
Have you met Pat?
Yeah.
I feel bad now, Cam.
Good.
You've gone all dad mode on me about it.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think a dad would know what school age means, but that's just me.
You'd think, but, you know, dads also don't get much sleep, so. Anyway, I think he's an excellent signing. Certainly someone I could see getting the captaincy this season, which I think might be another reason why they've looked at a longer-term contract for him.
Yep.
So you can add a bit of stability for the club around who's going to be your face of your team for a longer period of time.
And you've got Stefan Marinović and Ulysses coming back as well, who Stefan could have worn the captaincy armband until he started spouting COVID conspiracy theories on Instagram.
It's hard from keeper, though. In general, it's hard to be a captain from keeper.
A lot of people do it.
Yeah, I can understand that. But if you were just the distance that he's away from the play in long periods of time, even a central defender is understandable because at least you're never more than half the field.
I want to go back to the COVID conspiracies. Have you seen those he's been spouting on Instagram?
It's been,
interesting. No, I try and avoid COVID conspiracies because it tends to wind me up a little bit.
His latest concerning. One is that you do 14 days isolation because the UN classes anything above 15 days of as torture or something like that. So he's just going deep down the rabbit hole, old Stefan. But
soul isolation.
Like, I don't know what it is. Anyway.
Yeah, like literally with no contact with anybody.
Yeah. So
this isn't that.
No.
Anyway, that's enough of that.
He didn't say that Stefan was dropping truth bombs. He said spreading conspiracy theories.
Okay, sorry.
That's probably disqualified him from captaincy. But you're looking through the rest of the squad. I mean, Roofs, who's your vice captain?
I could see him being vice captain again this season.
Yeah. Not quite captain material yet.
Age?
Yeah.
I mean, he's mid-20s now, and he's been here a very, very long time.
One of the senior players.
The problem was last season you couldn't guarantee he was going to play.
What'd you do this season?
You've got Cam Devlin.
Yeah.
Matt Redenton. I can see Roofs and Cam Devlin starting the season, but I can't necessarily see them finishing the season that way.
Yep, that makes sense. Mm. I was very confused by what you said, and then that makes sense. It's a squad. Reckon it can win the league?
No, Sydney's winning the league.
Reckon it can make the playoffs and get a good shout?
Definitely. Yeah.
I think solid performer. But as you say, I don't think it's a league-winning side. But I think the league's changed, and it's going to take a couple years to kind of correct back to what it's going to be into the future. And I think this is a squad that will hold us in good stead into that future.
I think you've got so many young guys there who right now they can't go to Europe and play.
Yep.
They want to make a go of this opportunity. If they're still here in 2 years, which I think they could very easily be, that's the squad that will win the league. Right now, they don't have the experience, to be fair. It'll come. They just need to keep playing.
So the Phoenix, with all these new players, Sands, Marinovic and Ulysses, I believe at the moment, have headed over to a 3-week pre-season camp in Wollongong. They've been there for the better part of 2 weeks now. No, not quite 2 weeks. Yeah, the better part of 2 weeks. That's what I mean. That's right, isn't it?
They flew out just after we recorded last time.
Yeah, so they're about 2 weeks. They aren't necessarily staying there for the season. They haven't announced that yet. But obviously, over there, training. Direct flights in without quarantine this time around, I believe, which is nice for them. And we'll be playing the games based somewhere, I'm guessing. They'll have a home venue over there, even if it's not West Bank Stadium. They play most of the games at a single place for ease of scheduling. I imagine that's how it'll work, but we don't actually know what the draw is yet, do we?
They hadn't been released, and I can understand why as well. I think, Dave, you mentioned last time the whole it's a bit of a moving feast, and it could be a partial release. We get maybe a month's worth of fixtures, and we get them at the beginning of December, and then we'll get in February's fixtures at the beginning of January, and so right through the season until they know, because as was shown specifically today, COVID can get out of hand pretty quick.
Yep.
And I mean, we're still in the position with closed borders. It's, Queensland is closed to Sydney. Sydney's kind of open to everywhere, but they've been pretty lax about that and wanting people just to spend money, so that's all right. You can't travel from Victoria to Sydney at present, and there's talk that Victoria might actually close its border to Sydney because Sydney has so many cases of community transmission. Perth is still closed. South Australia is largely closed, but with opening exceptions, so they're allowing travel from regional Victoria now, and I think they're allowing from Queensland and Perth because they're obviously closed. But that situation hasn't moved a hell of a lot forward. So putting out a draw that allows for free travel around Australia is not a position they're in at the moment. So I think we're still looking at likely getting a here's the draw for the next little while. Maybe we'll also get a and when the situation changes, it'll look like this. because I know at a federal level they're talking about trying to have, you know, things back to normal border-wise internally for Christmas, so everyone can travel everywhere. And I think everyone would quite like that to be a thing.
I think that's a bit of a reach, though. Isn't
but
it?
Yeah, they, you just don't know it. It's going to be a matter of how comfortable people are with. With some community cases, they publicly have gone for a suppression strategy, unlike New Zealand, where we've gone for elimination, which requires us to basically maintain pretty much no cases. They're happy with the level of cases in the community, but how many is up for debate. And so Sydney have been reasonably comfortable with quite a few. The others are a bit hesitant about that same level. So it would be interesting.
I mean, all we know so far is that December 27th is when we kick off and we play some games against some people not in Wellington. So wait and see when we're going to be tuning in on the telly to watch those games.
And I think, Dave, you've made this point previously. If you can play in front of a crowd, you will, right? If Wellington can play here, they will play here. Whether they're based here or not is a completely separate question. But if they can bring games to Wellington and you're going to bring two and you bring them here, I think you get some pretty significant crowds there.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see where we do base ourselves in Australia as well. I think the logical money's on we'll be playing in New South Wales. But do we partner up with another club around that and you know, share a stadium? You know, do you share a Bankwest or something like that? Try and get good facilities there and have a base? Or do you just shop around for something to play in front of because you know you're mostly going to be having away fans? I don't know.
Well, I think so the other thing
is interesting to see what that decision is.
Because, like, all of our games are away, I would hope that we would just play at the other team's stadiums for the large majority. And that way, if we do get to play games at later in the season at home, then we can shift them back here. You see what I mean? It may not be the case. We haven't seen the draw. We genuinely don't know. But
I don't think that's a wise move because it means you're travelling for every single game, different place every single time. Yeah. You can't establish any sort of home base.
I still think they're going to be playing in New South Wales. So, yes, you are going to be travelling, but you're going to be travelling from Wollongong, where they're based, to Newcastle.
No, he means, you know, there's something nice about playing at your home ground, your home changing rooms, exactly, and getting used to that and having a consistent base for your games.
Look at the way that the players and
makes sense.
Look at the way the players and the coaching staff complain about going to Auckland. Still a home game, but different place. Imagine doing that for every single game, going to a different place every single week that you've been to once before the season. No way. They're going to choose a stadium. They're going to say, we play half our games here and they will play half those games there.
And, well, you'd hope, but it will depend on availability. And it will depend on where they can get a good deal, because, you know, it's this whole situation is costing a lot of money and you're not going to be getting a lot of ticket revenue in. So
I'd hope that you're able to partner up with a council somewhere who want to create live events, which is an industry massively hit at the moment, and you could have that kind of call it Wollongong, Phoenix or whatever you want and have that
happen. Basing out of Wollongong is a great idea. I don't know what the facilities are actually like there, but we do know there's a football team with a stadium there. Whether they're A-League quality, no idea. But, Dave, you might be able to know. Are they having crowds?
So, yes. Crowds are allowed at events, particularly in New South Wales, yes. But they're still capped at various levels depending on what sort of event it is. But, yeah, no, so State of Origin, for example, has been allowing crowds and various other sports events.
20,000 or something like that?
Yeah, depending on the event and depending on exactly where in the country you're holding it, there are cap sizes. Yeah, but crowds are allowed, yes.
Yeah, so
for now.
Season will happen. When it happens, we'll find out then. Let's move on. I think the next thing on our agenda, correct me if I'm wrong, was to talk about the W League team.
Correct.
And there will not be a W League team.
I mean, I feel like we announced that last record, but for different reasons. We basically said in order to get a team off the ground, there wasn't enough time.
Yeah, and that's kind of what FFA have said. Eventually. So the reason that FFA have quoted for it falling over is that they wouldn't be able to change the regulations around New Zealand players being classed as non-imports for a New Zealand-based team in time to start the league this time around. Which, on the face of it, that's a fair enough statement. If the Phoenix just asked to change the regulations and it's the season is on the right around the corner, saying no because you can't make sure all the boxes are ticked in time, seems logical. Do we think the Phoenix only just asked this question now?
No. I think it's been asked before. I think it's been talked about before. I think it's probably been agreed before. But then it dropped to way on the bottom of anyone's list. Understandably so. There were much more pressing issues to be dealing with than whether or not you needed to be catering for a new team in the W League. And I think that's what's happened here is it dropped to the bottom of everyone's list for a long time, and when it got revisited again, everyone went, oh shit, actually there's not enough time to sort that out anymore. But I realistically think even if that rule change had been able to get through in time, I don't know where the Phoenix would have got the players from. I mean, maybe similar to what they've done in the men's space, they did have a lot of deals kind of done here, but I don't feasibly see where you're getting a full W League quality outfit from out of New Zealand players who aren't currently contracted elsewhere.
Okay, that's the thing. Most New Zealand football firms are playing overseas, and yep. Travel back is very hard at the moment.
Well, and it doesn't have to be football firms though, right? Like the W League
sure.
is a reasonable competition for sure, but it's not if you put the football firms out in there, I think they'd probably carve it up because most of the teams have a spine that's really, really good quality and a lot of development players. And that's fine. That's what that league should be for. But I just don't know where you get a squad of 18 to 20 even development level players, let alone that 5 or 6 core to make it a really competitive side. I think if you were putting out a squad of 20 players based on who's available in New Zealand at the moment, some of them would be up to the standard. A decent number would be below the expected W League starting yeah. standard.
Yeah, so blame game aside, it's probably a good thing for competitiveness of the team that it's at least a year delayed. I believe yep. the Phoenix, was this through, I don't think it was through the press release, but they said, I've seen it stated that they weren't going to revisit the W League team until this rule was changed, basically.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
Yeah.
If they're putting a team in, it needs to be able to develop New Zealand players. That's the Phoenix's goal out of this, and so they need to be in that place.
Do you think there's any truth to certainly what was spoken about in the media over in Australia about how if they didn't want to give the football fans a G up in terms of competitiveness at a world level, they wanted to focus on Australian pathways and that kind of thing, which is part of their kaupapa or their equivalent document?
I'm sure there was a discussion around that. I'm sure there was certainly some thought given to that, but as you've already pointed out, the football ferns don't play in New Zealand. They already play all yep. around the world, and this wasn't going to be the football ferns. It might have been an under 23s or an under 20s ferns, yep. but you know, there's
I don't reasonably see that as a discussion that took place. I think if a discussion took place, it was whether or not this expansion aligned with their own aims as an organisation. You know, their aim is to develop Australian footballers. Does this expansion team align with that? Not necessarily. I don't think it had anything to do with the World Cup. I don't think they went, oh, let's, you know, screw them over for the World Cup. I don't think that would have been in their minds at all. But I do think reasonably a discussion could have been had about we're meant to develop Australian players, expanding into Australian teams develops that goal much more than expanding into New Zealand. But there are commercial reasons to expand into New Zealand, and the World Cup actually ties in well to those commercial reasons. So any discussion about the World Cup, I think, would have been probably in favour of this.
And especially given you've got a joint local organising committee between yep. the two federations. So
yeah. It feels like there's more to run on this, right? Whilst the Phoenix have come out and said, you know, we're not going to address this until the regulations are changed, yep. I certainly don't think this is the last we've heard of it before no. this time next year.
Yeah,
I think it's entirely reasonable we see a W League team next year. For the Phoenix next yeah. year.
I was going to just correct you. I think it is, we've heard the last of this for the next 6 months, and we'll revisit then once the A-League season is at least heavily underway, and we know what that looks like is when the club will put some more resources back into this. But
yep.
yeah. Was that what's at the end of A-League?
No, you wanted to talk about how apathetic you feel.
Yeah, there we go. I feel apathetic about the league.
And I think we were talking about this before we started recording. I yeah. think the other two of us largely agree.
It's yeah. a general consensus. Is, yeah.
you know, when did we last speak about that? Maybe it was last time we were recording here. But it's certainly just like when you can't go to the game, it's really hard to have some sort of connection to it. Like, same reason I struggle to follow overseas leagues massively, because you're not at the game. There's no connection to it. And I understand that a lot of people get up at 2 a.m. in the morning and watch Liverpool lose to whoever they lose to.
But you've got a connection with the team, right? That's why you do that. Like, I can understand why you don't do it, because you have no connection to a team over there.
Yeah, but I have the connection to the Phoenix, and the, and the games aren't on in the middle of the night. But I just still, like, the last season was just, it was like, I was turning up to the pub, but I felt like it's because I should be doing that, not because I cared about watching the team. So, like, and I kind of feel like we're just heading back to that again this season. I kind of feel really hard to have this connection to this team, that our connection to the team is that we're there every week in the stands, and we just don't get that this time around.
So what do you think? Well, how do you think the Knicks can address this? Because I'm sure you aren't the only person that's feeling this, right?
Honestly, they keep the club alive until they can play games in Wellington again. That is how I think the club addressed this.
And I think it's different, because I also feel, you know, a little bit different about this season than usual, but I wouldn't go as far as Patrick. I think Patrick's issues are probably deeper than some.
Patrick's issues are deeper than some.
But and, like, and in his football ones as well.
I definitely am not as excited about the season. It feels very different. Normally rolling into a season, I'd be getting excited about a first game coming up and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'd be getting excited about the draw coming out.
What if having preseason games out at Fraser Park and stuff like that?
But none of that exists for me this season. Like, the draw could come out at any moment and it just doesn't matter to me. But normally that'd be because I'd be looking at which away trips I could go on. You know, I would start planning out my season.
You'd be doing
It's now completely irrelevant to me, basically, what the draw is. There will be games each week. I'll be, you know, at the pub watching them. And that feels very different. And it's, as you say, hard to get excited about. But I don't know that there's a hell of a lot the club can do about that. This season is going to be a different prospect. And they really do need to find as good a ways as they can to keep people feeling connected to the club. But they're never going to be able to make it as good as being able to go to the game and watch us win 10-0 over Sydney. You know, like, you can't do that. Even if we win 10-0 over Sydney this season, that'll be exciting, but it won't be the same as being there. So it's a really hard challenge for the club, where I think they do need to figure out ways to keep us feeling connected with the club and, you know, keep us engaged for a season. And I agree, the fix to the problem is you've got to get games back in Wellington. But this season's going to be different, and you've got to keep us engaged for the next, you know, 6 to 8 months till we can be back playing in front of, you know, home crowds again. And
so I don't know what strategy you can use. Like, they'll do all the social media, all the comms they possibly can. I'm sure they'll put on events.
Yep.
I'm sure there's lots that they will try and get over the line, but I just don't. I feel this apathy could go quite a long way through the.
And I think as well, they'll probably have better success with some of those events this year, so long as they time it right and execute them well, because people will be craving to do something. I think, you know, I didn't historically go to, you know, the like stadium experience they did at Max Brewery. I didn't do stuff like that because I had my own regular pub routine that I was quite happy with. But I think this whole season I will be craving something that feels like a football experience. So we need to find a way to do that. So hopefully they can continue that, and I think they'll get even better uptake this time around.
I hope if
they can nail it. But if you know, you run an event and it feels a bit forced and naff, it's going to have the exact opposite effect if it's going to decrease how connected people feel, and it's really going to turn them off. So it's a real, real hard one for them to do.
Yeah, I think you choose 5 or 6 games for the season and go hard on them, rather than trying to do one every week or one every second week. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be dependent on the draw and what time those games kick off.
Yep.
So, and I really hope when they put together this draw, they take into account the fact that we can't have every game at 9:30 at night. We need to be playing some games at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday or a Sunday to give us an opportunity to get out and engage with our club.
Yeah, player welfare rules come into that in the middle of the Australian summer. So,
absolutely. It's not easy, man. There is no easy solution to this.
It's tricky. That's that. Enough on that. Let's move on to the New Zealand National Leagues. We have kickoff in the ISBS Hand Men's Premiership this weekend, which is very exciting. And we've also had 2 rounds of the Women's National League as well. And this is the only way that you're going to be able to watch live football in New Zealand over the summer. So get out and support it. But this weekend we have the first game in Wellington of the 2 Wellington teams taking on each other. The Wenix versus Team Wellington, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Not Sunday, Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the majority of games are going to be on Saturday, and that's purely because of availability of flights.
Yeah, yep. Flights from Wellington to Wellington, really hard to find.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Anyway, this is on Saturday, and it has been broadcast on the Sky Sports YouTube channel, along with every single other game in the season, barring the ones that are on the actual. Anyway.
How good is that, though?
That is amazing. I wanted to bring that up because it's not just the men's league, it's the women's league as well.
Yeah, and we've been the first people to slag off how that TV deal has gone in the past. So praise where it's due. Fantastic that every game will be able to be watched.
Yeah, and there's a bunch that are on Sky Sport itself, so you have to pay to watch that, which is fair enough. Sky Sport are producing the content.
Yep.
But then the fact that every single other game is available. I'd probably have been okay if every single game was on paywalled Sky, if they were doing every game. Yep. But they've obviously gone, how do we reduce costs in terms of producing the content? They reduce it down to two or three cameras and a commentator and maybe no replays on the streams. I don't know. I haven't seen one yet. But maybe it's that, which is absolutely fine for a YouTube stream. Yep. Not quite the production levels that they want on their main broadcast, but it means we get to watch every single game, which is just amazing. We're not sitting here going, oh, Southern United only get two games on TV. Mm. Why have Auckland City got seven? That kind of thing. We're not looking at that at all. Yeah. Every single game is there. It's amazing.
100%, isn't it? You get to watch it. I'm quite prepared to put up with a stream, which is three cameras, if I get to watch my team play.
That's
every
the thing.
Week.
Yep. And this is why I feel so much more connected to Team Wellington this season than the Phoenix, because even though I can only be there every second week for T-Dubs, I can watch them every week. Every week I know the T-Dubs game on that I can watch, which is amazing.
And they've got a good squad this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go through it very soon. But anyway, the first game this weekend is the Wenix taking on Team Wellington. Same time, Canterbury United are taking on Waitakere United. On Sunday at 2 p.m, Hawke's Bay are hosting Hamilton. And I believe the TV game at 4 p.m. is a Super City derby. Auckland City taking on Eastern Suburbs from Kewatia Street. Let's talk about that T-Dubs squad. Whole bunch of familiar names. Like, this squad looks like it has not been affected by COVID at all, really.
I mean, it has, but there is still a massive core that have come back from a very good team the last 3 or 4 years.
But I didn't really have much to do with the team last season round, so correct me if any of these names are a hangover from there, but names that jump out at me, Scott Masalo back, Justin Gully. Ooh,
just before a captain as well.
Justin Gully, Scott Pahala captain, yes. Yep. Justin Gully is back.
I heard it's really hard to be captain from gold, isn't it?
It is. It is. I'm genuinely surprised at the decision. No, let me rephrase. I'm not surprised at the person. I'm surprised at the fact that he's a key brand captain.
You think he'd be better out front, wouldn't you?
No, Scott Basile as a leader is a fair call.
Yeah, Taylor Shrivers is back. Liam Wood. Jao Moreira, was he?
He was here last year, yeah.
Was he?
Yep.
Was he ex-Auckland City? Is that where I got the name from?
Correct.
Yeah, there we go. Sam Mason-Smith, Hamish Watson, yeah, my man. Natty Halamario, Mario Garcia, Andy Bevan, Jack Henry Sinclair, Ben Matter, like all those names. Keegan Smith as well will be familiar to. Alex Pulisevic. All names that are very familiar with a bunch of a couple of new people as well in the team. I think this is a solid squad, and I think it's going to give it a great crack at knocking off Auckland City on number one spot at the end of the season.
Yeah, there's a couple of good young players in there who've come up from the youth teams as well.
Oh, cool, yeah.
So it looks a very exciting squad. Certainly, again, with the issues around import players and stuff that we're going to have and getting people into the country, I think they've done very well to keep the quality that they have.
Yeah, we've had a couple of rounds of the National Women's League as well. First round, Canberra United knocked off Southern 4-1. Northern Lights and Capital had a 1-1 draw. Auckland Football Federation very easily dispatched Central 9-1. Then match week two, Capital turned it around and had a 5-0 win over Southern United. Central got a 2-2 draw with Wybop, and Auckland continued their winning ways with a 4-1 win over Canterbury Pride. Results mostly as expected there, I think. Although I haven't seen any of the football at all, unfortunately. I haven't had time, despite it all being on YouTube. So how long have we recorded for? 40 minutes. Yeah, let's talk about the proposal for the new New Zealand National League, which I think has surfaced over the last 7 days or so. I haven't read much of it, so someone else will have to talk me through it. But it's basically a Champions League system, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, so I mean, the proposal as it stands, I believe, is publicly available, but it's been they're seeking feedback at the moment. It yeah, it proposes basically moving to a three-conference system, trying to use the existing leagues where possible in that conference system. So one being Auckland, using the existing kind of northern leagues top flight to be the conference, Central League and W League in Wellington, and obviously Central, looking to be the kind of central capital conference, and a southern conference that would look to encompass the entire South Island, which is probably the biggest change because there isn't an existing South Island-wide league. And the kind of top few from each of those leagues going into a Champions League at the end of the season, running over the existing National League period. So your conferences would take place March to September, much as the local winter leagues already do. Then you'd roll into a Champions League over the summer, with the winner going through to Oceania level Champions League. And so that's kind of a proposal as it stands, and obviously it gives better opportunities to clubs. But you know, we've seen club based national leagues before; they've been varying levels of success. And it obviously, you know, is a real threat to organisations like Team Wellington, who, you know, basically failed to exist under this proposal. So I think, you know, I won't express my views on the proposal, just because obviously I have, you know, a foot heavily in club camp here. Yeah. That you know, but as a proposal, it's looking to go back to, you know, club based, and it tries to address some of the kind of financial sustainability problems the existing league has.
Yeah,
but whether it addresses those fully is really, you know, the devil's going to be in the detail.
I will express an opinion because it would be boring if I didn't. I think I don't like it on the surface. I think that we've spent kind of 15 years investing in this current National League to undo it all and lose very strong franchises like Auckland City and Team Wellington would be disappointing. Auckland City particularly have a very, very strong brand, and have done very well over the last 10 years building what they have now. And I think to lose what they have built and what Team Wellington has been building over the last 6, 7, 8 years is disappointing. I would want to see a way for those organisations to continue living in some capacity under the new National League, and I don't think that this addresses how they could do that. Whether they enter the club-based system and you enter a team or enter a team into Central League and try and sign all the best players you can, that kind of significantly reduces the funds available to Team Wellington to function. And so, from that perspective, I don't like it. I see the benefit of having the pathway for existing clubs to make National League, because that is where the fundamental nature of our winter season comes from, and being able to give them a better pathway into a higher level of football makes sense. The conference system makes a lot of sense to reduce travel costs, but you lose a lot of, I think you'll lose a lot of sponsorship money out of the game that exists in the National League. Not there's a lot of it anyway. And so I think you'll have Central League level of funds available to each club, but then they have to go and sustain a National League system at the end of it. And you'll see kind of like what happened in other and previous iterations, where a club heavily invests in their squad into winning the Central League and making the National League or whatever, and then not having funds to run the National League and being skint and broke as a result. Or if they go on further, not been able to run an Oceania campaign. We've seen how expensive that is for Team Wellington and Auckland City. So that's where the issues for me come from. I think the current system works well enough, although the downfall of Tasman and Southern does throw that up a little bit in the air for the men's league. And I think I'd prefer to see a refinement of the current ISPS Handa Premiership than to revitalise it way back to what we had 20 years ago.
Yeah, so probably a couple of details I can address there that I glossed over in my first summary. So one of the key things proposed in this is around travel costs to help add some certainty for clubs. So it essentially looks at the costs going up for teams at present in those conference leagues. So for example, Central League, the cost increases
for every team
entering into the Central League.
Yep.
But it does mean that there would be a centralized pool to cover travel not only for the Central League, which at the moment is not covered by the league, you know, clubs wear their own costs there, but also for the Champions League phase. So essentially the losers in the league end up subsidising the travel cost of their winners, but it does produce that more sustainable model, so you're unlikely to see clubs too skint,
which is,
as you suggested, to compete in that league. There also are a couple other things, so the detail of all of this is not yet fleshed out in the proposal. That's, as I said,
that's what they're asking for, right?
Yeah. Is looking for a points-based system for players and squads to reward squads for holding on to homegrown players, so having some kind of cap around points or a range you're allowed to be in without some sort of penalty or whatever that looks like. But, you know, players who you've developed through the club and stay with your club being worth a lower number of points or higher number of points, depending on how the system works. Whereas players who you transfer in just to, you know, win the season or whatever being worth more to try and stop that churn that currently exists both within Central League, for example, but also of, you know, players jumping between the National League outfits as they do at present. The detail of that is not yet fleshed out, but an interesting proposal to try and reduce that. So, you know, players are more likely to stick with a club for life, or, you know, if they transfer, they're transferring to actually transfer clubs rather than just to try and win, you know, silverware for one season and then come back or whatever. And there was something else I was going to say as well, but I can't remember what it was.
That's fine,
Dave. Oh, no, the other one was some kind of transfer system for at the end of the conference phase so that players who, you know, for example, didn't qualify could be picked up. So if you end up, I don't know, just pick a name out of the hat, someone like Maya Bevan misses out on winning the Central League with his club, can still be transferred in to one of the teams that is going to the Champions League phase, so that the elite players who deserve to be playing that National League still can. But within a limited capacity. So, you know, it's not like you can wholesale switch out the squad you won the league with for a completely different team, but you might be allowed, say, two or three transfers in each in order to do that, but probably still within the points system. So, you know, trying to maintain the ability for clubs to hold players and build a squad over time rather than the current level of churn you do see.
It seems like a lot of arbitrary rules that they need to bring in just to make the thing feasible to me. What do you think, Cam? What's your read on this?
I am a fan of the club-based Champions League system.
Yeah.
Have been for quite some time. But I totally agree that there's so much detail to get it right.
Yep.
From what Dave's obviously just been covering across with the if clubs bankrupt themselves trying to get into this competition, you know, because they will try and buy the best players and keep the best players for a long period of time, what happens with those clubs that have been around for a long time? If you look at like Hawke's Bay United and Napier, is the where the alignment is there, Hawke's Bay United goes. Team Wellington with Miramar, the alignment is there, and Team Wellington goes. There's a lot of investment. There's a lot of energy and time has got into that club to make it what it is today. And I don't yet see how you reconcile all of that together to make this a functioning league.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that they're going to, like, put the proposal out there to be looked at and to get ideas. There's a lot of intelligent people working in football that could be able to come up with a system that works well for everybody.
Yeah, and it's worth noting the reason for this is the league itself and the franchises as they exist recognize it's an unsustainable model. The money that they are generating does not cover costs. I mean, many of them are operating at a loss. I'm not going to say all of them because I don't know all of them, but certainly you see Tasman and Southern, for example, were clearly operating in a on a knife edge, really, and some of the other ones as well are operating in an unsustainable way. So they recognise that there's a need for change here, and that's where this comes from, is trying to find a way that not only will be sustainable into the future, but also gives equal opportunity to all entities. So if over time another entity should really be taking over that lead within a region or whatever, that opportunity exists. Whereas at the moment, you've kind of got a situation where winners are picked in advance and they're the only franchise that can compete. Because, you know, for example, let's look at the West Olay situation. I mean, they've been fantastic in Central League and probably deserved at points there to have been competing at a higher level. but were unable to because of the politics that meant they're just excluded from that system. So it seeks to address that as well as seeking to address the situation with the financial sustainability of the league. As you say, though, Cam, whether or not this nails this is you know, exactly what they're seeking feedback on and you know, trying to address. So we'll have to see what the final thing looks like before we know for sure. But in short, a proposal's been put forward. The document, if it were approved, potentially with changes and potentially with more detail, would come into effect from next year. So this would be the last year of, you know, the National League as it stands, with next season being a club-based league. The proposal also puts forward this governing the Women's National League as well. Except that they don't think they can bring that in fast enough for next year. So it would be coming in at a later day with a view, you know, taking 2 or 3 years to work towards that exact same system.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Using the same. So obviously the other W League being the conference for Central and Capital, Northern Leagues already exist and bringing a similar league in place in the South Island.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So
oh, were they? Oh, fuck that. I looked at the website and didn't tell me the website. Fuck. And let's round out on a bit of a happy note. Let's talk about the Phoenix.
You look real happy, Pat.
Yeah. I thought we were going to wrap it up and Cam's jumping in. But
come
hey,
on.
It's cool.
Come on, it's a fair about, thing to talk about.
Well. Absolutely. So the club awards took place. Obviously, not the usual black tie dinner that that we normally are all quite excited to attend, and normally involves Patrick smashing a tray of champagne glasses everywhere.
Year,
but
every year.
Yeah.
It happened once, but
it feels like every year.
Every year is a shambles. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Every year the fever is a shambles. Let's clarify. The club awards nights are generally quite entertaining.
No, absolutely, yeah. I've never smashed a player's trophy that they've won that evening.
I haven't either.
And no, neither have I.
Other members of Yellowfield Podcasts have. So, Smithy, you know who you are.
I've licked the A-League trophy.
No, you didn't lick it.
We never touched it. We weren't allowed to touch it.
You weren't allowed to touch it in any way, shape, or form.
Get a photo of me touching it, but I definitely did.
Okay,
there are a lot of incriminating photos of all of us with that trophy from that evening, which we'll never see the light of day, Cam.
2015. Oh, they've seen the light of day.
Have they?
That is, haven't gone on social media.
Shit.
Well, it depends. Do you consider Slack social media? Because I've put a few
up there. Domi's got a duvet cover printed with your antics.
My antics. Flip it over one.
I'll let you guess which photo it is. Redbubble will print anything.
That's a good point. They do duvets?
Yeah, they do, weirdly.
Shit, that's good to know. Anyway, Cam, talk us through the winners. Was anybody surprised, or was it just Liberata Kakache winning everything?
Well, let's just literally go through all of them and we'll find out for sure.
What's the first award?
So the Volunteer of the Year was Reese Lewis.
Okay.
The Staff Member of the Year was Aidan Wivell. And the under 23 player of the year goes
Libby.
To, and the fan of the year
Libby.
Goes to Jess Pritchard. The members player of the year goes to
Libby. That was Libby. Yeah.
The Huawei player of the year went to
Libby.
David Ball.
For fuck's sake.
Libby wasn't in the top three, actually.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that was a surprise. Genuine surprise. The goal of the year goes to
Libby.
Uli Davila for his what was a great goal against Sydney FC.
Did Libby score any?
Yeah, Libby got a goal this season. So maybe he should have got goal of the year. The Spark Media Player of the Year goes
that was
to
Libby. That was Libby.
Yep, that goes to Libby. Golden Boot.
Ulysses De Villa.
Has to be Uli. Yeah. The Sky Sport Players Player of the Year.
Oh, Libby.
It was Libby.
Yeah.
And then the Lloyd Morrison Spirit of the Award goes to the club.
Spirit of the Award.
Spirit of the Phoenix Award. Sorry.
Yeah. Spirit of the Phoenix Award goes to the Phoenix, right?
Goes to the entire club. Yeah.
Does that make up? Are we part of the entire club as supporters?
No.
Well, we didn't really sacrifice anything to get the league finished.
I had spent money on their events.
Yep. but that's not sacrificing something, is it?
No.
You're not giving anything up.
You paid
other
for goods
than
and services and received the goods and services.
To be fair, as a season,
you got on TV for it. So,
season pass holder, that's all you're doing. You're paying for goods and service. You have no membership to the club. So we can't claim ourselves as Lloyd Morrison Spirit of the Club Award winners.
No. All we've really given up this year is a pub crawl so far. So,
which we're going to do anyway, aren't we?
Are we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
we've talked about this on the pod before, haven't we?
Pub crawl every week.
At the very least, we'll do one around a T-Dubs game.
Mm. Hey, that is the end of the podcast this week, everybody. That's that. Recorded, done, in the can. I have to edit that now and put it out. But by the time you hear this, I've already done that. So congratulations, Patrick, for doing that.
Get along to the World Classico on the weekend.
Yeah, I have to get this out before then. Anyway, that was the pod for this week. Stay safe, be kind, and we'll see you next time around. Goodbye, everybody.
Wear a mask.
Libby brings you.
Apathy brings you.
Well, Classico brings you.
Wollongong Phoenix brings you. Home But Away brings you. Brettley and Oceanic Climax bring you.
Climax. Oceanic Climax. That's not the
Brettley word. Would be into that.
That's not the word about the weather. Anyway, that'll do.
Whoops. Sorry, my bad.